Well, God bless you all. Tonight, the title of my teaching is Words and Equations. We've been looking at words in the Bible and how important our words are, as well as God's word. Words have precise meanings. If I said stop, what would that mean? Does it mean roll or walk? Or is it? Do you have an opinion about it? No, stop means stop, right? Every word that God uses in His Word has a significance. Every word that we use when we say kind words, there's a significance to that because we want to bless someone. When we say words that aren't building up, then it has the opposite effect. But as Bob said, God's Word is, can be of mathematical precision. And I want to show you tonight how we can look at kind of at verses, some of the verses, and see how 1 + 1 = 2, right? It doesn't mean, now Josh might think, well, 1 + 1 = 2-ish, 2-ish. No, it's precise, right? It's always 1 + 1 = 2. And when God says something, to do something, it's going to equate to something else. There's going to be a result. And so much of God's Word, all of God's Word, is for our benefits. We are His children. He wants the very best. From the very beginning, when He created Adam and Eve, He wanted the very best. So it's never a time where He does something that isn't going to bless us. But if you don't know His Word, you're going to miss out on the preciseness and the mathematical precision of what He does. So we're going to look at some equations. Equations are a process of equating one thing with another. Like, I've got 3 apples and 4 bananas, and I've got 7 pieces of fruit, right? So I have an end result. I have so much fruit. Well, when you add words from the Word of God and look at the points that equate to a specific formula, you will see how powerful God's Word is. Just like getting born again. There's a formula to it. We're going to look at that. All of God's Word, and if you don't know God's Word, you miss out on all these blessings and you live a life that's, you're wandering aimlessly. When we equate something, it will cause two or more things to be the same in quality or value to get a precise answer. I like accounting because when you put together equations, let's say I got a paycheck of $3,000 and I want to buy a car that's $3,500, what's my answer?
You can't buy it until you get $500.
That's right. I'm short $500, and it doesn't. Everybody's going to get that same equation, right? So you either go into debt for that $500, or you think maybe if I wait for another paycheck, I'll be able to do it. But it all equates. Thank you, Cameron. Let's start in 2 Timothy chapter 3. We're going to look at some of these equations, and I hope this will inspire you when you read God's Word, that you will see how He puts so much together to give us a precise answer and hope for our lives. So 2 Timothy chapter 3, I'm sorry, actually 1 Timothy chapter 3, sorry about that, 1 Timothy chapter 3. Whoops, no, it is 2 Timothy. I don't know why I did that. 2 Timothy chapter 3, and we're going to look at verse 16. It says, all Scripture, every word of God, is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, thoroughly equipped for every good work. So the Word of God, first of all, is given by inspiration of God. It's inspired by God. And every person that wrote the Word, God told them what to write. So it's God's Word, every word here. And it is profitable. The purpose of it is for doctrine, for how to live rightly, for reproof when you're not quite at the right point where you're in the correction. Why? So doctrine plus reproof plus correction equals is for instruction in righteousness. So that's how you get righteousness. And the purpose of that righteousness is that the man of God may be completely, thoroughly equipped for every good work. So when we have the Word of God, which is perfect, inspired by God, it's profitable. The purpose of it is for doctrine, reproof, and correction, for instruction in righteousness, that we may be fully outfitted like a boat. You want to have a, like we have a kayak. You have a second seat, or you have seats in there so two people can sit in there comfortably. If you don't have the oars, you're not going to be fully equipped, outfitted, so that you can actually move around in the bay. And that wouldn't be much fun, would it? No, because you want to have a competition so you can go the fastest, too, right? Our boys are always in competition. So there's an equation right there. Isn't that wonderful? God gives us all those things so that we can be fully equipped for good works. And all of us want to do good works, right? That's what we live for. We know one wonderful thing about God's Word is that God can never lie. So every word, every promise He makes, He can't take it back. Isn't that wonderful? So I don't think there's any other book that you can read that is perfect like this. Even Webster's dictionary probably takes back some meaning, changes them as time changes. Let's look at Proverbs 3, verses 5 and 6. Proverbs 3, verse 5. Says, trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge Him, and He will direct your paths. So here we go. First part of the equation is trust in the Lord with all your heart, not just on Sundays or Mondays or Tuesdays, but all the time. And we need to subtract out from this equation leaning on our own understanding. Because when we trust in God completely, we don't need our own understanding. Jesus said, I can of my own self do nothing. He always listened to His Father. So why do we think we could? We can. Now, so we scratch out leaning on our own understanding. In all our ways, acknowledge Him. So everything that we do, we acknowledge that God has a purpose and He has direction for us. And the end result will be, the sum of the two is, He shall direct our paths. So we will know the way to go. Isn't that great? Mm-hmm. It's just how He sets up the formula. Trust in Him. Forget about what we think all the time. And acknowledge Him. Say, God, I need your help. And He will be there to direct our steps. In the Old Testament, God gave the children of Israel lots of commandments. Thou shalt not do this and shall not do that. And if you did what God said, you would have blessings. But if you did not do what He said, you would be cursed. So the curses are not good. And that was not God's will. But Jesus Christ came to fulfill all of the law, and all of the curses were eliminated from our lives, even. That's why by His stripes we were healed. The sickness has been healed through Jesus Christ. Today we have only one commandment, Matthew 22, verse 37. Let's turn to that. So you like some of these equations? I think it's kind of fascinating. Matthew 22, verse 37. It says, Jesus said to him, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. This is the first and great commandment, and the second is like it. You shall love your neighbors as yourself. On these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets. So God's direction for us is to love him with our whole heart, our whole soul, and all of our mind or strength. And then to love our neighbor as ourselves. And sometimes that's loving ourselves is one of the hardest things that we can do. We make it difficult on ourselves because we don't think we're great enough. But if you add God first, love him, you're going to have so much love that you'll be able to love yourself and your neighbor. Great equation. Okay, let's see what else we got. People that love are blessed. Look at Romans chapter 10, verse 9. This is a great one, that if the whole world knew this, we'd have a lot of believers. Because a lot of believers don't know the truth of how to get saved. And they think that it's because they have to be so good to get saved, but God set up a formula that is perfect. Romans chapter 10, verse 9 says that if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, you will be saved. There it is. You confess, speak it with your mouth, and believe in your heart that God raised Jesus Christ from the dead, you're saved. You have eternal life. And when you know those components, you have no doubt about it. And then we have also, since the day of Pentecost, been able to manifest that spirit. We receive spirit at the time of the new birth, and we can manifest it by speaking in tongues and operating in other manifestations. So we believe in our heart the resurrection of Jesus Christ. We confess, we believe in the resurrection, and then you have eternal life. That's the formula. How simple, right? How about Ephesians chapter 6, verse 1? Here's a good one. This is an exciting one. We kind of think it's hard, but really in the long run it's a wonderful promise. Ephesians 6, verse 1 says, children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and mother, which is the first commandment, with promise. Why? That it may be well with you and that you may live long on the earth. When we obey our parents, and all of us were children at one time, and we still are, we still have to obey our parents in the Lord, and our parents represent the Lord. You know, until we have a time where we can really understand the word, we have their direction. So obey, honor parents, and the end result is you will live a long life. Isn't that a wonderful equation?
I think it's fabulous.
How about Matthew chapter 6, verse 31? Matthew 6:31 says, therefore, do not worry, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear? For after all these things the Gentiles seek, for your heavenly Father knows that you have need of all these things. But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. So when you seek God first, all the things that you need, your drink, your eat, what you eat, what you wear, will all be added to you. So put God first and you will have all that you need. Isn't that great? That's a great formula again. Philippians 4:6. This is a super one. And there's so many. I just picked out a few that I thought were kind of cool. But I encourage you that when you're reading, look for these things. God tells us what to do, and then the end result is to bless us. Philippians 4:6. It says, be anxious for nothing. Don't worry about anything, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the end result is the peace of God, which passes all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. So be anxious for nothing. So anxiety, worry, doubt, you subtract those from your lifestyle, from your heart, from your thinking. But in everything, pray and make specific requests known with thanksgiving, and you will have the peace of God. Isn't that a great one? And then my last one is John 10:10. God told me this would be a good thing, so I obeyed. So John 10:10 says, the thief does not come except to steal and to kill and to destroy. I have come that they may have life, they may have it more abundantly. So here's a contrast. The thief comes to steal, to kill, and to destroy. So if you have anything in your life that you feel you've been down that road with, you need to erase it, subtract it from your life. Look to God first. Look to Jesus Christ. Jesus said, I am come that they may have life. The purpose of Jesus was to give us life, and that we may have it more abundantly. Not just a good life, but a more than abundant life. So in all the things that God has provided for his children, he wants an abundance for our lives, and we only have that through Jesus Christ. So that is what I wanted to share, words and equations of blessings from God. So, thank you. So, Father, I thank you for those wonderful words in your word that certainly demonstrate your love for your children. I thank you that we can continue to diligently seek you, seek your face, seek that peace and joy in our lives. And thank you that you guarantee that your son will come someday soon. And I thank you for all of our lives, for health, for strength, for just joy bubbling in our hearts. In the name of Jesus Christ, amen. Amen.